is found in John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." This is the word of the Lord.
Please be seated. Good job. I want to talk about inner healing today. And I want to begin by asking some questions to you. Who was the first person that you remember that loved you? Who was the first person you remember that hurt you? I had a guy go out the first service. He said, "Well, it was the same person." It was my mom and dad. If you could have chosen to be born, would you? Was your childhood happy? Now I want to ask some other questions, but I had to write these down because there's just it's hard for me to keep them in my brain. Do you have fears, fantasies, anxieties, compulsions, a sense of worthlessness, erratic fits of anger, depression, unforgiveness, guilt? Have you ever been in combat? I know we have some combat vets here today. Have you ever been molested or raped or robbed or physically or mentally challenged or battered or been in a severe accident or experienced rejection or experienced a tragic death or an illness, severe illness, or have you been adopted? Do you feel like the blessings of God in your life are receding, or that you're just not moving along in the Spirit the way that you would like to? Maybe you need inner healing. Now, we are a Trinity, just like our Lord. You know, our Lord made us in His image, and He's a Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so are we. God, it says in Genesis 2, He took the earth, which was called Adama. In fact, the first man that knew the Lord was named after that, Adam. Adama means the earth. And He blew into Adam, the Adama, the Ruach, which is breath, air, the breath of God. And we became a living being, a nephesh in Hebrew. Now, in the Greek, Old Testament is written in Hebrew, New Testament is written in Greek. Those words are for body, soma, where we get somatic. We still use these terms in Greek. Pneuma is spirit, where we get pneumatic, air, the spirit. And then for the psychological part of us, the psyche. So we are a Trinity. And when we invite, and by the way, there's a good book on this topic, The Trinity of Man by Dennis Bennett, that I would recommend if you want to read more on this. It's fascinating stuff to learn about. When we invite Jesus Christ into our life, God's Spirit, God's Ruach, Pneuma, comes to live in our Ruach, our Pneuma. and we're healed spiritually. Our spirit is that part of us that lives forever. When this physical body stops working, your spirit lives on with the Lord until the resurrection. And God someday is even going to restore us physically, which is some exciting stuff to hear about. God's salvation is not just a spiritual thing. It is all-encompassing. And Jesus is the first fruit of that. Someday we're going to be resurrected just like He is. But even though our spirits are healed when we invite Christ into our lives, our psychological dimensions and our physical dimensions are more resistive to healing. And we may need to have inner healing. Scientists are telling us today that every conscious awareness we've ever had from the womb until now is recorded and stored within us in our memory banks. Every conscious experience. And yes, you did have conscious experiences in the womb. They're all there. They're all in there. And the most wonderful thing about our brain is that it, unlike a movie camera or an iPhone camera, it not only catalogs the picture and the sound, our brain also catalogs the smells, the fears, the emotions. They're all in there. And as we go through life, you know, our brain can only hold about 1/7 of what we have in there in our conscious mind. Only about 1/7. So that means 6/7 of our brains have got all this stuff warehoused in there. And from time to time, we'll have an experience that will bring up a fear, that will bring up an emotion, that will bring up a taste, that will bring up something from that experience that we had a long time ago that we've long forgotten. And that's where a lot of that stuff comes from. In inner healing, we first of all recognize that Jesus has been with us in all of those experiences. He was there the day we were conceived. He was with us the whole time we were in the womb. He was present at our birth. He went with us through childhood, in grade school, in our teenage years, in our adult years. He has been with us and He continues to be with us. Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. Beautiful passage. And He longs to heal us in those areas where we've been hurt, so that we can live to a greater degree the life that He has for us in this life. How do you do it? Well, it's not rocket science, okay? It's very simple. It's not psychotherapy. It's not counseling. It's simply asking Jesus to surface hurtful memories and then to heal them. I recommend that you get a comfortable place where you're not in a hurry. I did some of this last night in the bathtub. That's a great place for me. When I'm not in a hurry. I hope I'm not in a hurry when I'm in the bathtub, okay? And I'm relaxed. I had some healing that I needed to do. I didn't realize it. When I did this message, the Lord spoke to me and said, Doug, you need some healing about this issue that just happened recently in my life. And I had neglected to take care of that. So I did some inner healing last night. Sometimes it's helpful to have another person to pray with you, not in the bathtub, okay? Unless it's your spouse, okay? Sometimes I have my grandson in there too. Sometimes it can be helpful to have another person because our subconsciouses are very timid. And to have another person pray with you can be very helpful, who understands these things. And some of our healing team people know something about this, and we're learning more and more about this in our healing teams. And we've got Mike Evans coming back in the end of April, thanks be to God. The last weekend of April, he's coming back here, and he's going to talk to us more about this stuff, inner healing. And you simply pray for God's protection. You can do this yourself, too. You pray for God's protection. You pray for his guidance. You ask him to surface memories. And I think it's helpful to go back to certain stages in your life. Go back to the womb. Yes, you have experiences from the womb. I actually have a memory of my birth. I don't think I've ever told Dad this before. My dad's sitting here. I actually have a memory of the day I was born that's there. And we go back, we ask the Lord to surface those memories in the womb, those memories in childhood, those memories in our infancy, those memories in our teenage years, those memories, and just go through each stage and ask the Lord to just surface anything, and he'll pop it up. He will. And sometimes when we're praying with other people, they'll have a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. When I do this with people from the prayer team often has a word of knowledge about something that will bring that memory up for them. Then we just ask Jesus to reveal himself in that memory because he was there. He was in that memory. You didn't see him there. You didn't know he was there, but he was there. And he will reveal himself to you. He will show himself to you. You may see him as a person. He's always got long hair for some reason in whenever I see him in my imagination. And just remember that he's all love. He's all compassion. He's all grace and caring. And you just let him love you. Sometimes he'll put his arm around you. He'll hold you and tell you that he loves you. And he'll speak to you words. And you need to pay attention to those words. That's a word from the Lord to you. And you may need to receive forgiveness or give forgiveness, depending on what that memory was all about. And then when you're all done, you just ask the Lord to fill you up with his Holy Spirit wherever any of those hurts were in your memory banks, and you move on. Now, I think this is what was going on with Peter and Jesus in that scripture that we read this morning, that Ethan read to us. You might recall that on the night of the Lord's Supper, you remember after the supper was over, Jesus told all those guys that they were going to fall away. You remember that? And you remember Peter. Now, he's the big alpha male, full of testosterone, fisherman guy. Probably big, strong. Probably could have played linebacker. We had Norm Evans here yesterday. He's probably about Norm's size. And he said to Jesus, "I'll never disown you." You ever said stuff like that? And Jesus said, "Peter, let me tell you something. Tonight, before the cock crows twice, you will disown me three times. Not just once, but three times." And Peter said, "If I die, I won't." Do you remember that? Mark 14. Mark 18, or in John 18. And when they arrested Jesus in the garden later that evening, thanks be to God, I think it's kind of cool, Peter did pull out his sword and cut one guy's ear off. Did you know that? And of course, Jesus told him to put the sword away, this had to happen. And it wasn't time for him to fight. And he healed that guy's ear. And then Peter and John followed this entourage that arrested Jesus to the high priest's house. And when they got there, there was a courtyard, and it was very cold that morning. It was early in the morning, very cold. There was a charcoal fire, and all the servants were out there warming themselves. And somehow Peter and John, I think John knew somebody in the high priest's house, got them inside, and they were right there at the fire warming themselves. And they were abusing Jesus, not too far away. Peter might even have been able to see Jesus. And Jesus see him. And one of the servant girls said, "Hey, you're one of these guys. You're a follower of this guy." And Peter said, "No way. I'm not a follower of this guy." He was scared out of his brain when he saw what they were doing to Jesus. And then a little longer time went by, and then another one said, "Hey, didn't I see you out there tonight? Didn't you cut that guy's ear off?" He said, "That wasn't me. I don't know who you're talking. I don't know what you're talking about." And then a little later, another servant. "You're a Galilean. You're one of them." And he began to call down curses on himself. Can you imagine? This is the same guy that said he would die first. And then the cock crowed twice. And Peter remembered what Jesus said. And he began to weep bitterly. Now, folks, I am sure that that left a huge scar in Peter. Huge scar. And you remember when Jesus, a few days later, was raised from the dead, and Mary was out there. She thought he was the gardener. And then when she realized that it was Jesus, do you remember what she said to it, what he said to Mary? "Go and tell Peter and my disciples." He specifically named Peter. And we know that he appeared to them twice. Remember, Thomas wasn't there the first time, and then Thomas was there the second time. And it was a couple of weeks later, and Peter and some of the disciples decided that they were going to go back fishing. I don't know why they decided they were going back fishing. Maybe that's all they knew how to do besides follow Jesus around, was fish. So there was four of them, four others, there were five total, with Peter, and they went back fishing. And they fished all night and didn't catch anything. Have you ever fished for a long time and never caught anything?
Yeah.
Okay. It gets to you, doesn't it? And they had done it all night, and it was like daybreak, and there was some guy over on the shore. Nobody recognized him. And he said, "Friends," he said, "did you catch anything?" No. He said, "Well, why don't you try on the right side?" You know, sometimes Jesus likes to play with us a little bit, doesn't he? So they, for some unknown reason, they listened to him. They threw the net on the right side, and there were so many fish that they couldn't haul that sucker in. In fact, we know later, they counted them. There was 153 fish in there. And suddenly John realized what was going on, and he said, "It's the Lord!" And Peter, they were about 100 yards offshore. Peter threw his garment on, because he was stripped down working. He threw his garment on, and he charged that 100 yards to Jesus. And when he got up there, Jesus had this charcoal fire going. You can read this in John 21. He had this charcoal fire going, and he had bread on there, and he had fish on there. So Jesus had done a little fishing of his own, right? I don't know where he got those fish, because the rest of the guys were trying to get that net into the beach. And Jesus served them all breakfast. You know, our Lord is a servant, isn't he? And he served them breakfast. And when they were all done, he looked to Peter. Now they're sitting by the fire. Their tummies are full. They're enjoying the Lord. They're warm. And Jesus says to Peter, "Do you love me?" And Peter says, "Yes, Lord. Of course I do." A little while later, Jesus said, "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep." And then finally, a third time. He had to do it three times. "Do you love me, Peter?" "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And it pained him, it says, because suddenly Peter knew what Jesus was doing. Jesus was taking Peter back to that memory in the courtyard by the fire. Three times he denied Jesus. And Peter, now Jesus is putting new information. Every time, I believe, every time for the rest of his life, every time Peter remembered that scene in the courtyard denying Jesus, he also remembered, right alongside it, that scene on the beach where Jesus was telling him, "Feed my sheep." Jesus reinstated Peter. Jesus forgave Peter, healed Peter of that memory. I didn't tell this story in the first service, but I'm going to tell it to you in this service. I was doing this years ago with a man who was verbally abusing his son. Guys, that ever happened to you? He was verbally abusing his son. And we went back and we did some inner healing. And when we got to the age he was, or his son was, at that time, suddenly he just exploded his brain because he looked at himself at the age of his son, and it was exactly, looked exactly like him. And he did not like himself as a young boy. And what he was doing was he was projecting that dislike of himself at that age onto his son. And suddenly Jesus was there and healed him and told him how much he loved him and how much he cared about him and how Jesus had planned for him to be here on this planet. And Jesus healed him of that. And it healed that relationship with his son. Folks, this is very important stuff. It's something you can do. All of us need inner healing, every one of us. Some more than others. And what happens is when we do this and we allow the Lord to do this with us and heal us of our memories, we get all the gunk out of ourselves, get our eyes off of ourselves so that God can start using us to get our eyes on other people. You follow me? So that we become more open channels of his love and grace and power, which is what the body of Christ is supposed to be all about. We're supposed to be the channels of his love and grace and power to these people around us. I want to ask you to close your eyes, bow your heads, and I'm going to do a little inner healing with you. Lord, I just ask you to protect us right now. Just cover us with the blood of Christ. Don't let the enemy be involved in this exercise in any way, shape, or form. Silence him in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just ask you to surface a simple memory in each one of us. Don't make it your hardest, scariest memory, okay? Something easy, something simple. Holy Spirit, just say to the Holy Spirit, bring up a memory for me. And whatever is the first one that pops in your mind is the one the Holy Spirit wants you to focus on right now. Just remember that memory. Now I want you, by faith, to picture Jesus there. He was there. You might see him as a person. You might see him as a light or presence or love. And just let him tell you how much he loves you, how much he cares about you. If you need to give some forgiveness or receive forgiveness in that memory, just receive it, give it. And feel the grace, the love of God around you. Lord, I ask you to fill everyone up in this room, in that memory, with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Band, would you come?